Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach in it the preaching that I bid thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today's stational church on this Monday in the Passion Week is that of Saint Chrysogonus, who was one of the victims in the Roman persecutions. We have our crucifixes and holy images now covered under a purple veil to represent the times when our Lord himself had to go hidden from his persecutors. And the liturgy of the Passiontide speaks much about persecution and the faithful people's pleas to protect them and protect the church against the persecutors of the Christian faith. And today's prayer over the people at the end of the Mass pleads God that he would give health to our souls and bodies, and that we would always be defended by his protection. And the Church of God is really a defender and protector of all her children. And since today's stational church, that of Saint Chrysogonus, belonged in the 19th century to a cardinal named Vincenzo Pecci, who later in 1878 became Pope under the name of Leo XIII, I'll tell you a story from his life, how he protected the suffering and needy Christians of Italy. Monsignor Pecci was only 27 years old when the Pope, then named Gregory XVI, named him his representative in Benevento. He was ordered, as Prophet Jonas in today's Mass, to go to the city and preach in it the preaching of the Pope. Those of you who study history might remember that still in 19th century there was a land named Papal States in central Italy, which was governed by the Pope. But because of restlessness and revolutions in Europe, the Papal States, including Benevento, was infested with bandits and robbers. But Monsignor Pecci dealt with them in a masterly fashion, also with the evil nobles who blackmailed the poor people out of their scanty living. It was only a short time before the bandits of that town and their protectors came to the conclusion that their warfare against the law and Monsignor Pecci's authority was hopeless. As he was not to be trifled with, the bandits gave up the conflict, and those who hoped for promised mercy surrendered, and those who did not found no hiding places were captured. The people who were so greatly defended against the robbers and evil noblemen by Monsignor Pecci offered ovations to him wherever he went. Pope Gregory publicly expressed his thanks for his services, and to most statesmen, what was to Monsignor Pecci only a work of months would have been a labor of years. People appreciated him because he was the true father and representative of the Pope and the protection against their persecutors. Restoring of order in other parts of the pontifical lands was also very much needed, and Monsignor Pecci's great success at Benevento gave the Pope the reason to entrust the work of another town as well, named Spoleto. And there he was sent, charged again with the reorganization of law and order. Again, Monsignor Pecci was called to preach the preaching of Christ, to comfort and protect the needy and oppressed, and preach punishment for those who were their oppressors. The reputation he had made preceded him, and on his arrival he was greeted by a popular ovation, and the nobles, whose relations with the peasantry he was specially instructed to examine, were wiser than their brothers and neighbors in Medevento, and they too presented him an address of welcome. Monsignor Pecci at once again espoused the cause of the poor, whose oppression he found to be intolerable through the excesses and suppressions by the nobles. So naturally, he did not make many enthusiastic friends among the high class, but he became quite popular with the noble young, with the younger noble ones. And for the poor, he was greatly honored, he who was still less than 30 years of age, as a true father in Christ. The small landholders in Spoleto were in almost as sad a plight as the peasantry. They had many difficulties, they were loaded with debt, and were in the mercy of the money lenders. And two of the money lenders, who were especially notorious for their extortions, were once surprised by Monsignor Pecci by an invitation to come to visit him at the special hour. These two had recently borrowed a large landholder account, a big sum of money, and were now extorting him from him as interest so much money that the count had to in his turn take income to his family from his poor peasant subjects. But these two obeyed the summons, and they were cordially received, so cordially, in fact, that they became suspicious. And after greetings, young Pecci said, "I have sent for you, gentlemen, merely to ask you a few questions. How much does the count owe you? You have mortgages on his lands, have you not?" They gave the information, and he continued, "How much did you lend him in actual cash?" The answer revealed the fact that they had been paid in interest about three times the amount of advances. And with his loving, paternal, but firm voice, Monsignor Pecci then said, "Then you are usurers, gentlemen, and usury is a criminal offense. You will cancel your bonds or be put on trial for your offense. I will give you 1 hour to decide which one." The astonished moneylenders at once offered to surrender their mortgages. "That will not be sufficient," replied Pecci. "You will at once pay back to the count half of the interests you have extorted from him. He is compelled to take from the poor in order to pay your exorbitant demands. You are, therefore, accountable for their poverty, and you must make restitution." The usurers protested in vain. They surrendered the mortgages and paid the money, which Pecci distributed among the peasant tenants of the count and aided them in restocking their farms. He caused it to be made known that thenceforth usury would be severely punished. Dear children, the Church has always, during her history, protected and prayed for the oppressed and those who are in need and who are facing tribulation and persecution. During this Passion time, we remember how Christ himself was persecuted and how he, who was totally innocent, was made to suffer all but because of us who are really guilty and who have done so much evil things that it's because of us innocent person had to suffer. But realizing this fact shouldn't be a cause of sorrow for us, but instead a great realization of joy. Our Lord, who was put to death in today's Gospel, shouts out aloud, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." In the daily masses you are privileged to attend, you daily become partakers of his body and his blood, and you see daily how good our Lord is and how sweet it is to taste him. And during this Passion time, remember all your little breakings you have done, either against the faith or against your parents, or what you have caused sorrow in your homes, or whatever small things you have been breaking against your Heavenly Father. Be sorry of them, make a good confession, but most of all, prepare yourself for the glorious Easter, because this time of sorrow here on earth will not last very long, but his precious blood and his spotless victim will once raise up to the everlasting heavenly life, and that life is something which the Church offers you a glimpse already here on earth. This dear Church, who for centuries has protected and prayed for all the Christians who face troubles, whether small and daily troubles like we, or real life-threatening persecutions as the past centuries. Be obedient and loyal sons and daughters of the Church, and God, who was persecuted, will lift you up from your troubles and grant you everlasting life. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.